Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help to focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. I'm joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. And it's good to be here in a week where we saw the Republican National Committee handed over from one group of barbarians to another group of less sophisticated barbarians. And I thought it was boring. I found it quite a boring convention. Here we go. Hillary's coming up. What do we have here from the newspaper, from the Sunday paper? Big picture of Hillary. They took that camera with one of those Vaseline greased lenses so that her wrinkles don't come through all that badly. The Democrat Democrat convention should be quite a bit more interesting. I have something on that we'll get to, I'm sure. But let's start in the Brave New World file, where it is now offensive, officially offensive, to be witty. You're not allowed to be witty anymore in this modern, politically correct age. And you people thought Donald Trump was going to solve all of that. But listen to this. An Italian restaurant in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is under attack. Well, they were under attack. And not for just bad food. No, they had a sign up above their Italian restaurant, and it had the slogan, "Black Olives Matter. Try our tapenade." Tapenade. Which is an olive dish, from what I understand. I thought that was pretty witty, "Black Olives Matter." That was pretty good. Well, it's Paisano's restaurant in Albuquerque. The owner was accused of making a joke in poor taste. Poor taste, I said. Yeah, we'll just leave that. The restaurant's owner insisted that it was not his intent to offend anyone. He was very sorry, and he's taken the sign down. And all photos of the billboard have been taken down and scrubbed from all social media. It's the Brave New World file. Yes, you cannot be witty in this politically charged environment. I thought that was pretty good. Meanwhile, we've got terrorists running wild in France and in Germany, hacking, killing, shooting, running people over. So the Islamist war against the hapless, feckless, slope-shouldered, slack-jawed loser leaders of the West continues, and they continue their march toward victory. Sadly, very sadly. And it was a shocking, just this latest, a pregnant woman hacked to death with a machete in the streets of Germany. Just unbelievable. And they keep the doors open to the so-called migrants. It's hard to believe. I'll be interested to see if the next president can stem the tide of refugees before we start experiencing similar weekly attacks. Or will they be daily soon? I don't know, but it's very troubling. Let me try to find some good news. Ah, I do have some good news. The Democrats hate each other. They absolutely despise and detest one another, and they all have to get together this week in Philadelphia and exhibit their brotherly love for one another. Hillary and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, there's not a lot of brotherly love there. Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been dropped as a speaker at the convention because of all the embarrassing emails that her and her staff exchanged regarding insulting Bernie Sanders and other Jews. And yeah, WikiLeaks. This couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. You got the deviant perverts at WikiLeaks, exposing the evil, wicked, conniving, lying scum at the Democrat National Committee, it makes you just want to sit back and take a sip of a nice cool beverage and just watch the goings-on. It's going to be hot in Philly, that's for sure. Let's see. Sanders is calling for the head of Devi Wasserman Schultz. He wants her to resign. She came out today and said she'll resign after the convention. Even Money says she resigns before the convention. All right. I would bet Even Money that she resigns. Yeah, there was collusion. Listen to this. This is amazing. The emails indicate that the collusion at the top of the DNC against Bernie Sanders included active attempts to harm Sanders' image with Southern Baptists by drawing attention to his atheism. Are you telling me there's Southern Baptists that would vote for a Democrat at all? I suppose there are. Kind of embarrassing for Bernie, although he's never covered up his atheism. I don't know how they draw attention to it. Bernie drew attention to it by saying he's an atheist. Let's see here. This is a story from Breitbart. Persistent anger at Clinton and the Democrat Party establishment from Bernie's fired up, ignorant, young, unemployed stone supporters now threatens brotherly love at the Democrat convention, where it's going to be like 103 degrees with 99% humidity and a lot of ignorant, young, unemployed stone stupid losers with nothing to do, and George Soros has offered to pay them to do something like throw rocks and bottles. If the leaks continue, the Democrat convention could prove acrimonious, according to Julian Assange over at WikiLeaks. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. Should be fun to watch. I just hope nobody has to die at the Democrat convention. Let's all hope that no one gets themselves or anyone else killed at the Democrat convention. Speaking of a nicer bunch of people, let's go to Russia, where the Daily Mail is reporting that, according to well-placed sources, the International Olympic Committee will punish all 387 Russian sportsmen and women in the strongest possible way by banning the entire Russian team from the Olympics. It's for doping. It looks as if it's possible that there's an actual state-sponsored doping program amongst the Russian athletes. What do you mean, doping? What is this? This is impossible. I used to work for KGB. We do not allow doping. No, no, no. I think it'll be interesting to see if the IOC... Apparently, Vladimir forgot to bribe someone, which is unusual because he's usually good at making sure everyone that needs to be bribed is properly bribed. But apparently, some people in the IOC didn't feel that they got enough love from Vladimir Putin, and so they are going to ban the... They say they're going to ban the entire team. We'll see if that happens. I was wondering why they don't just have a... don't they have doping tests for every single athlete? I think they would be embarrassed if they did. Please, everybody does this. What do you mean doping? These are just very healthy young people. Russians grow big and strong, you know. Anyway, we'll see if Vlad tolerates that from the perverts and the deviants over at the IOC. All right. Now, I should get to serious news. Well, let's continue on that note for just a moment, because the news does get somewhat depressing, and I want to have a little bit of fun. Before I get into the depressing news of the day, let's go to another really, really fun one to watch, and this is the impending crisis at Fox News when it came out that the guy who has been making all his newsgirls dress up like transgendered strippers, Roger Ailes, turns out he's some kind of pervert. Imagine that. He's just a lecherous old man. Oh, that's right. He's a conservative hero. Roger Ailes has been... Well, here's what happened. It came out, a half a dozen women said, look, this guy's a well, as I just said, he's a lecherous old creep. And he's been what do you call it? He's been propositioning women who worked for him for about 40 years. And so everybody came out, all these women came out. One is suing him. I forget her name. I could care less. I don't know what her name is. One of the waxed-legged news deliverers at Fox, after delivering the news and waxing up her legs for several years, showing the cleavage and doing all that, she filed a lawsuit against Ailes saying that he's a lecherous old creep. Half a dozen other women came out. And right when it looked like Ailes was going to beat back the Bill Cosby-like wave of women, Megyn Kelly stood up and said, hey, he did the same thing to me. He propositioned me, and, well, she never did say if she took him up on it, but she did get the job. And she's had the job for quite a while. For whatever that means, we don't want to imply anything here. We think Megyn Kelly is a fine, intelligent woman, as you know. Anyway, this couldn't be happening to a nicer bunch. Megyn Kelly is now hated by everyone at Fox News, who all hate each other. And they've all hated Roger Ailes for years. And it's all just spilling out. Well, all of the primetime people on Fox, who many of you probably aren't familiar with, but I'll give you a short list. O'Reilly, Hannity, Greta, Shep Smith, Brett Baer, Eric Bolling, Neil Cavuto, Kimberly Guilfoyle, the original transgendered stripper, Laura Ingraham, Geraldo Rivera, Juan Williams, Judge Jeanine, Bo Dietl, my goodness. At least 50 people who worked for Fox said they're willing to walk out. They said this on Wednesday. Now, by Friday, Ailes was out, fired by Rupert Murdoch. And, well, we'll just see if the talent over there at Fox walks out and starts their own news channel. And maybe they'll stop dressing like strippers if Ailes is out. What do you think? You think Megyn Kelly will stop with the snakeskin ripped-up dress that looks like it came out of a 1980s Motley Crue video?
No, that was the judge.
Oh, was that Judge Jeanine? I get him mixed up. Yeah, yeah. She looks like a snake woman, Judge Jeanine. Anyway, so we'll just see what the talent at Fox News does, but I cannot tell you how pleasurable it was to watch all these people just spewing their vitriolic hate for one another. Oh, Roger Ailes? He built Rush Limbaugh, for crying out loud. Oh, that's it. Yeah, he might be a lecherous old pervert, but at least he's a heterosexual, so that makes him a conservative in the modern-day economy. Yeah, at least he's, yeah. Just disgusting. All right, let's see here. See, I still don't want to get to this depressing news, so let's go to Michelle Obama and what tried to be the big story of the week was this alleged plagiarism of Michelle Obama by Melania Trump, who is apparently that's Mr. Trump's wife. I must confess, I did not watch much of the Republican National Convention because it was just boring. But Melania Trump apparently plagiarized. Let's see here. Whatever. Melania Trump did not plagiarize Michelle Obama. Let's see, Hillary Clinton. Oh, Breitbart says that Trump's wife joins Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden, who are also plagiarists. Even Michelle was accused of plagiarizing part of her own 2008 DNC speech. But this isn't the point, people. First of all, over there at Breitbart, you shouldn't point out that everyone is a liar and a thief, and so we shouldn't really be too upset about Melania. The real point is that the empty platitudes that Mrs. Trump and Michelle Obama parroted at their respective conventions, they were merely regurgitations of hollow fluff uttered by 10,000 Miss America contestants before them, and just as meaningful and deep. What should concern people is that the future First Lady sounds like a dropout contestant for Miss America in 1975. It's always been reach for your dreams.
Your dreams are only as big as your heart. And the only limit is the sky. And if you reach further than you can climb, you'll go high and far. And there'll be puppy dogs and rainbows.
All right, I can't do this story yet. Should I just, let's just go to the RNC because this story, well, let me do this because it should be done. This is from the Domestic Tranquility File. Out in the St. Louis area over this past week, a 13-year-old girl was turned in eventually by her family. She's suspected of shooting a store owner couple of Koreans. This couple's in their 70s, and this 13-year-old girl shot them both as she robbed their beauty supply store. This is a 13-year-old girl. This girl, earlier the day that the shooting occurred, the girl and another juvenile went into the business. They stole some items. The store owners, 70-plus Korean couple, got the items back and kicked the girls out of their store. Now, the store owners didn't report the shoplifting to police, probably because they're afraid. So later, the girls returned, and then the couple finally called the police. The police come, they talk to the girl, they release the girl on a warning. The girl returns to the store and shoots the couple. Police worked overnight to try to find her. They went to her last known address where her mother lives, but a neighbor told police that the mother had sent the daughter to live with the girl's father. Mom says she was fed up with the girl's behavior. This is the state of domestic tranquility in America. By the way, this is one of the same stores that was looted during the first Hands Up, Don't Shoot riots out in the Ferguson, Missouri area. You think you got problems with foreign terrorists? We're raising a generation of them right here. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I don't know why I stuck that story in there like that. I had been avoiding it since the top of the show. It was so depressing. And so I threw a curveball to my extremely attractive audio engineer. You're going to boycott. Let's move now to the bamboozled file. Yes, you'll be hearing a lot from this file as the Trump campaign continues. From the bamboozled file, James Dobson has endorsed Donald Trump. No surprise there. All right, so I remember that James Dobson stood up in 1990 at the March for Life, and he made a pledge that he would never again support any politician who would kill even one innocent child as long as God lets me live on this earth, said James Dobson. And this is the third or fourth abortion-friendly Republican that James Dobson has endorsed since that pledge. And so I sent Jim an email over the weekend, and I just pointed out to him, Jim, I do not understand how a psychobabbler who pointed out a few relatively obvious truths about family life back in the 80s somehow became the standard bearer of American Christians. You should be ashamed of yourself. And if you're not ashamed of yourself, you should seek pastoral counsel because you keep endorsing these abortionist candidates even after you made the pledge in the sight of God. Does that not bother you, Jim? Anyway, I have not heard back from Mr. Dobson. But I did post that up on, well, wherever I read this story, WorldNet Daily. So why, James? Why have you become so bamboozled, James? Mr. Dobson says, I have decided to endorse Donald J. Trump for president, not only because of my great concern about Hillary Clinton, but because I believe he is the most capable candidate to lead in this complicated hour, said psychobabbler James Dobson.
Basically, Jimmy's saying, you know, Donald appeals to my flesh. I'm afraid right now. There could be terrorists. There could be criminals. Our economy could go very badly. Donald Trump really appeals to my flesh. And maybe he'll hire me. It's possible. Maybe. Now, I almost didn't write that line because I thought that was too presumptuous. The part about Dobson hoping that Trump may find a place in his administration. For maybe he'll hire me, right? Well, I'll get to this in just a second. Dobson, let's see, this is from WorldNet Daily, says he's very enthusiastic about Trump's choice of Indiana Governor Mike Pence, and making Mr. Dobson the only person enthusiastic about Indiana Governor Mike Pence, including Governor Mike Pence. He doesn't seem very enthusiastic about... Did you see the joint interview with Trump and Pence? Pence looked like he had been taken hostage. There was someone just off frame there with a gun pointed at him. You're going to do this, buddy. Dobson goes on, Trump's commitment to appoint conservative Supreme Court judges also has him quite enthusiastic. He's going to preserve religious liberty. He's going to rebuild the military. And, says James Dobson, Donald Trump will defend the sanctity of human life. At which point I said, well, when did Trump say that? I just heard him say he was going to keep funding the good things Planned Parenthood does. And that he's somewhat bothered by baby killing, but I never heard him say he was going to defend the sanctity of human life. But when you're very enthusiastic and you're bamboozled, you start to hear things, and I think James Dobson is hearing things. So he was pressed on the abortion issue, was Dobson. And Dobson insisted that he's chosen not to evaluate Trump based on his past position, but rather on what he says are his current convictions. So when you utter the phrase current convictions, Mr. Dobson, that right there should give you some pause. The fact that he has current convictions. But no, Dobson's completely bamboozled, along with Michelle Bachmann, who, listen to this, Dobson and Bachmann are on a special faith advisory panel announced by Trump. They will provide advisory support on issues important to Christians. The board, according to reports, will lead a much larger faith and cultural advisory committee that will be announced by the Trump campaign later this month. Look at that. He's already got himself on a board, so he is hoping Trump might hire him. Yeah, there is power available, possibly some acknowledgement for James Dobson, a washed-up old loser of the culture war, brought back to help Donald Trump bamboozle stupid Christians. I'm just going to say this, okay? I'm going to get this off my chest. And this is going to offend some people, but, you know, obviously you know I don't care about that. Trump is a fool. He's an egomaniac. He's a buffoon. He's a charlatan. Anyone who supports him is foolish. I want it to be known that if you ask me about Trump going forward, this is what I'm going to tell you to your face, even if I know it's going to end our friendship or our relationship. I'm going to say you're a fool. Donald Trump is evil, and you're a fool. I actually had much stronger language written here, but I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be diplomatic. One of my Facebook friends asked if we could somehow put together a chart or a graph that could show Trump supporters the balance of Supreme Court justices since we started the strategy of electing Republicans so that they would appoint conservative judges so that we could someday overturn Roe versus Wade. Is there some way we could put together a nice concise chart or a graph? And I wrote him back and I said, we could probably do that, but most of the people who support Trump would not understand the concept of a chart or a graph. So it would be lost. I'm trying to imply that the people supporting Trump are not that bright. That's all. Let's leave it at that, and let's move on to the politics file, where
Trump lumped the Christians in with the queers. And this is happening more and more. In fact, the RNC was a love fest for homosexuals, and God and Christianity and pro-life, none of that was ever mentioned once as far as I know. I didn't watch much of it. But the homos were mentioned on several occasions. Trump stood up for the homos and thanked the evangelicals in his Castro-like speech. Guy droned on for like an hour and a half. I mean, please, Donald. Brevity is the soul of wit, Mr. Trump. And if you don't want to expose how truly ignorant you are, you should give very short speeches. But he went on and on, talking about how the terrorist in Orlando had targeted, and the way Donald said this was kind of odd. He said the terrorist targeted LGBTQ community, leaving out the linking verb or the designator or the, I don't know, he left out some words. The terrorist targeted LGBTQ community. No good. And we're going to stop it. And everybody cheered when he said LL. He said, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens. And there were roars of applause. Later on, in the same speech, Trump said, I'd like to thank the evangelical and religious community. The support they've given me, and I'm not sure I totally deserve it, has been so awesome and has been such a big reason for me being here tonight. Okay, so Donald, he says, I'm not sure I totally deserve the support of the evangelical and religious community. That's him, in a backhanded way, acknowledging that he's bamboozled you idiots. He knows he's bamboozled you. He even feels a little guilty about it. He's probably thinking, how stupid can these people be? Dobson comes out and endorses him. Trump's like, pretty stupid. I got it. I got this thing. I got him. But I'm here to say that I don't want to be lumped in with the fags. And all you Christians should be offended that Trump lumped us all in with the fags. Yeah. But now, I noticed that he did this. But no gullible evangelicals noticed. Notice I did not say gullible Christians. I said gullible evangelicals. They didn't notice that Trump has lumped them in with the fags because they're afraid they might lose something. I don't know if it's money or their comfortable lives or whatever it is. I don't understand how Christian can support Donald Trump. That's all. I believe that evangelicals, when threatened with the loss of their comfortable lives, would endorse and vote for the devil himself. Notice again, I did not say Christians. I said evangelicals. There's a big difference. All right. Another moment from the RNC, the Republican National Convention, which was held in Cleveland, Ohio last week. Peter Thiel appeared on stage, and according to the Gateway Pundit, Peter Thiel came out as a homosexual at the RNC. Peter Thiel is the founder of PayPal, and as far as I know, everybody already knew this guy was a queer. Maybe he came out as a Republican. Peter Thiel said, quote, I am proud to be gay, I am proud to be a Republican, and I am proud to be an American. At which point, the new Republican Party gave him a standing ovation, and then they started chanting, USA, USA, USA. That's one of the most annoying things I've ever heard, people chanting USA. Especially when I'll just leave it aside. There you have it. So as Mr. Thiel comes out and gets a standing ovation from the new Republicans, now we have Pastor Mark Burns. He is, well, he's a pastor. Need I say more? Pastor Mark Burns appeared, and he said, Black lives, white lives, Hispanic lives, Asian lives, Christian lives, Muslim lives, shout it with me, all lives matter. And the audience burst out chanting, all lives matter, all lives matter. And he said, even though I disagree with the tactics of Black Lives Matter, I understand the hopelessness that breeds this type of desperation. So at this point, you would think as a pastor, He's going to offer a serious idea about the solution to the crisis in the black community. Now, here's what he said. The way that we can solve the problem in the black community and to eliminate this kind of desperation is to create good jobs, urban economic revitalization, and opportunities for job training. That will solve the problem in our troubled cities around the country. And the Republicans cheered and cheered, and USA, USA. So this guy's a pastor, and he is evidence, further evidence, that a good number of the lemmings bamboozled by Trump are just not that bright. I guess I should leave it there. I was going to say stupid, idiots, morons, ultramaroons. What a gullible. What an ultramaroon. But let's just leave it at not that bright. All right, we're coming back now. Glad to have you back. Whew, I was sweating that. I get rocking on that one. I can't help it. How do you not just jump up and down? I forgot the biggest story of the week. I left it out. At least the biggest story around the McBurney compound. We're going to leave aside the story about breaking the tractor. But I had to change a flat tire on a tractor 3 times. And now I know what my other brother Daryl meant when he said you don't want more tractor than you need. Because that was not a fun experience. Who ever heard of getting a flat tire on a tractor? I did it. And I broke some other things too. It's my neighbor's tractor, so we're getting along famously now. Fortunately, he doesn't have a crop in the field, or he'd be dead broke by now. Let's leave aside the tractor. And our peahen, her egg hatched, and we now have a pea chick. Is that what you call it? We have a pea chick. So we have a mama, a daddy, and now a baby. And only one, because here's the thing. We overthought this a little bit. The peahen started laying eggs a few weeks ago, and she would just lay them and walk away. And we assumed, well, this bird doesn't know what she's doing. So we went and got the eggs. We bought an elaborate incubator and set up a whole thing and commenced to try to help this poor hapless bird who just didn't know what she was doing, apparently. Well, she laid the final egg and then she started brooding, as I've reported over the past few weeks. And then we did a little bit of research and we found out that God and the peahen actually knew exactly what they were doing. The peahen will typically lay several eggs over the course of a week or two. And once the clutch is complete, then she'll brood. And then the eggs, and it's all set, and everybody knew what they were doing except us. See, we didn't know. We didn't know that the bird and God had a deal. They had talked about this. They knew what to do. And so we only end up with one.
But now we know. And we, unlike leading members of the political class in our country, we are willing to admit when we are wrong. And we are willing to look to God to help us figure things out. Unlike so many in leadership at the highest levels of government. So anyway, it's the cutest little thing you ever saw, this little baby peacock. And it'll be fun getting this one up and running. And then next year, we're just going to let the bird and God do their thing. And so we'll have more. And we may become peacock dealers, if that's legal. I'm not sure they've legalized that in Colorado. Maybe illegal in Colorado to deal in peacocks or peafowl in any way. That's right. Be on the peafowl black market. No, I think we'll just see what happens. But meanwhile, let's go back to the RNC, because while I was not watching, activists from Black Lives Matter and the Westboro Baptist Church and, just for good measure, the KKK all met in the same square at one time, and at a certain point, they were apparently throwing urine at each other. Yeah, it reminds me of what's going on at Fox up at the DNC. At one point, Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton were throwing urine at one another. It was reported backstage that Megyn Kelly threw urine at Roger Ailes. Anyway, I had to just mention this just because it's hilarious to me to think of Black Lives Matter, the Westboro Baptist Church maniac morons, and the KKK throwing urine at each other. It just strikes me as funny. Radio host Alex Jones was going through the crowd with a bullhorn, doing his best just to try to get someone to hit him so that he'd have another video he could post up. Because that guy's just a nut job. And Billy Baldwin, listen to this. Billy Baldwin marched in support of police and in support of Black Lives Matter. And he was apparently by himself and was obviously just wasted. Isn't he the one who was the druggie? I can't remember on the Baldwin brothers. I know one of them's a big leftist, and one of them is reformed, and he's become a Christian. And then Billy, I'm not sure where he fits in. He's the youngest one. He's obviously not made it through rehab yet. That was apparently the extent of the protests at the RNC. A few urine bombs between groups who each group deserved to have urine thrown on them. And so, yeah, there you have it. So let's move now. Let's go to Munich, where an 18-year-old Iranian German, dual citizenship, I suppose. They say he was undergoing psychological treatment. And he did the killing. You're all familiar with the killing in Munich. This is the kid who lured the other young people to McDonald's at the mall and then started shooting them all and then killed himself. And they're insisting he acted alone. He did it on the anniversary of the Norway slaughter carried out by the Breivik. You remember that guy? He claimed to be a Christian crusader, and he slaughtered the children of the Norwegian government at one of their summer camps or winter camp. I think they only have winter camps in Norway. Anyway, it was on the anniversary, and so everybody's been trying to figure out, is this guy more like a Columbine guy? Is this guy an ISIS guy? Is this guy a right-wing guy? And the one thing that the establishment media, the one narrative they want to push, is that he was a right-wing Christian extremist. And I really don't know all the facts. But I do know that, as The Sun reports here, it came on the fifth anniversary of Breivik's massacre in Norway. They say the kid was a fan of mass murderers. Eyewitnesses claim he shouted Allahu Akbar. In fact, one woman said, I know he shouted Allahu Akbar because I'm a Muslim. And she said, I heard this and I just cried. Because here's someone crying, screaming Allahu Akbar while he's slaughtering people right in front of me. And this Muslim woman, she felt terrible about it.
And this attack came just a week after the knife and axe attack. Remember on the German train? You barely remember that, right? Because there's so many, who can keep track? After a while, we'll let Barack Obama address this. But here's the thing, folks. This Breivik, I will say his name, Anders Behring Breivik, he's still alive. He's in prison and has a scheduled release date. This is a man who slaughtered 77 people, most of them innocent school children. He's alive in prison in Norway, and he will be released someday. And this inspires mentally unbalanced, delusional people, probably on drugs, like this Ali. We'll just call him Ali. He's the Munich killer. Ali, 18-year-old Ali, was inspired by the fact that this guy Breivik, not only did he do it, he'll get out again. He may be able to run for political office in Norway someday. So I think we have a confluence of realities that is occurring. Islam, abortion, child killing, lawlessness, drugs, and no justice for the killers and the innocent are being killed. And this confluence of realities and also sexual immorality, rampant, unrestrained sexual immorality. This confluence of realities is coming together and it threatens to wash away our civilization. I was on the phone with a family member last week, and he made mention of the collapse. There's going to be a great collapse, a total collapse. Everything's going to collapse. I didn't want to argue with him because you don't want to argue with family members because you just want to tear your hair out. I'd rather be hit in the face with a cat than argue with a family member about politics and religion. I'm just past all that. I don't bring this stuff up with family members who I know where they are. I know we disagree, so I talk about, let's talk about the peacock. Anything. But they've got to bring it up. All right. Anyway. So the collapse, right? Everything's going to collapse. All the preppers are ready. They got their underground bunkers, 25-year food supply. But I think they're going to be disappointed in the collapse. Because I think it's more likely that this flow of evil, this confluence of wickedness, wicked realities, it's just going to slowly corrode the foundations, and the collapse is not going to be spectacular. In fact, it's going to be rather pathetic, embarrassing, disgusting. It's not going to be Mad Max. No. It's going to be more like just an embarrassing, pathetic devolution into meaninglessness and irrelevancy. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. We come back. Eh, that's all right. See, now you can't boycott. There. Now, We were just talking about the massacre in Munich and the implications of all that. Well, Barry addressed it. Barry Ho addressed the massacre. Let's see, where was he? He was not in the United States, as is usual these days, spending a lot of time outside the country. I think he's going around consolidating his power base for whatever his next move is in international politics. But he delivered an update to reporters while the rampage was still unfolding in Munich. And this time he was speaking from the Eisenhower Executive Office Building adjacent to the White House. He was in the country. I'm mistaken. He was in the country consolidating his power base here for his next foray in international affairs. And he was speaking to reporters. He was speaking to law enforcement agents. I'm sorry. And he announced this massacre and then began grinning and chuckling and even drew some laughs from the audience. Started talking about his daughter leaving home and heading off for college. And he chuckled and the audience chuckled, which was just kind of creepy, that's all. Earlier that day, about an hour before the maniac opened fire in Munich and started slaughtering people, earlier that day Obama had said that the Republicans were overreacting at their convention by drawing attention to crime and terrorism. He says the Republicans are just overreacting. Barry said this, quote, "The idea that America is somehow on the verge of collapse, this vision of violence and chaos everywhere, doesn't really jive with the experience of most people." Doesn't really jive with the experience of most people, said Mr. Obama. And technically, I guess you could say he's accurate, since most people weren't in Nice as the truck was running them over. Most people were not in the square in Dallas as the terrorists fired down upon them. Most people were not in Baton Rouge when the police were being shot there. Most people were not in San Bernardino. Most people were not in Orlando. Most people were not in Munich at the latest massacre, not counting the woman hacked to death today. That would be the latest. So technically, most people, yes, I guess you could say that. But we all see it, Mr. President. And because of the connectedness of the modern media, we all, to a certain degree, we all experience it. And the tension rises. And the level of fear and angst amongst the people rises every time, a little bit. And the pressure is building. And Obama chuckles and laughs and talks about his daughter leaving home to go to her well-heeled college, university, that she'll be going to. Because Barry, well, he assumes he doesn't have to worry about this. All this violence, and he doesn't, it's just you people are overreacting. Please, most people. What he's really saying is he's not worried. He's well-protected. He's got the Secret Service. He's got the one of the best walls in the world around the White House. And he'll have an even better wall around his private estate, wherever that ends up being. He'll have armed guards for the rest of his life. And he thinks he doesn't have to worry about all this. Why are you people getting all excited? I just can't relate. Well, I'm here to tell you, Mr. Obama, you need to be worried. Because this level of violence threatens everyone. Not just the average pregnant woman walking down the street in Germany. Not just the average party goer in San Bernardino, but this level of violence it threatens everyone, Mr. President, and you should learn how to relate to it and not crack jokes about it, because it's very distasteful for you to do that, and it shows that you're completely and utterly disconnected from the reality that the rest of us observe every day. And while all this was going on, I don't want to leave this out. Over 80 people were killed and over 200 wounded in the Afghan capital just yesterday as we go to air here on Sunday. A suicide bomber detonated himself in a large crowd. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility. I mean, what more? It's just horrifying, the level of violence that I assume that the president feels that we should all become relatively comfortable or at least tolerable of this level of violence, because after all, there's been an awful lot of people wronged by the free market, and especially you white people. And so it's going to be a little bit painful, but you should learn to deal with it and suck it up. I can't imagine. I don't know what else the president could be thinking about, cracking jokes as he talks about a massacre that was occurring at the time. It wasn't even over yet. I don't understand. All right. Meanwhile, let's come back to the United States, where we will home in on reason number 1,047 to keep or get your children out of the government schools. The California State Superintendent of Public Instruction has announced the approval of new history and social science standards. They call it a framework for California public schools. The technocrats within the government school bureaucracy there say that this is going to update and upgrade history and social science instruction in California. It's going to give our students, this is a quote from some bureaucrat, I don't know, the head one, the head bureaucrat there in the at the state, he is the state superintendent. Tom Torlakson says, we're going to give our students access to the latest historical research, the latest historical research, especially about the diversity of our state and the contributions of people and groups who may not have received the appropriate recognition in the past. And what I mean by that are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Now, I left out the questioning, but that's because I hadn't got the memo that we were supposed to include the Q. But we will teach people about the Q, too. I just didn't have that in my prepared remarks. Information has been added to the curriculum about the contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and people with disabilities. What's that? I'm sorry, yes. So there, you people with disabilities, now you've been lumped in with the fags. First it was the Christians at the RNC, now out at the out in California, the head bureaucrat loser at the superintendent, he's lumping people with disabilities in with the queers as well. So do you remember when Michelle Obama said in 2008 before she was elected first lady that we're going to have to change our traditions and our history? Do you remember that? I'm just pointing it out. This is it. And I'm not sure what the superintendent means by the latest historical research, because in historical research, it is the sources that are closest to the actual events that are the most reliable. But we're going to get the latest historical. This is later. This is new. We've got, yes, we thought we knew, but wait. Now we have we have newer research on history. All right. Reason number 1,048 to keep or get your daughter out of the government schools. Alexander Rodriguez has pleaded guilty to raping a girl. He was a bus driver. He told investigators, well, I don't want to get into it because it's disgusting. But basically, he's been, let's see here. He got 4 years in prison, 4 years for raping a high school girl. You believe this? He'll have to undergo supervised sex offender probation for 10 years, and he'll have to wear a GPS ankle monitor. Yeah, that works every time. The girl, I don't want to get into it, because I've got a quote here from the sheriff. He says a parent wants to be able to be assured that they have people who've had proper background checks. They don't have felony records. And they know that they want to have their child handled by the right type of people, says the Hamilton County Sheriff Jim. Hey, Sheriff Jim, you're an idiot and you should resign. Hey, anyone who wants their child handled by other people is just, well, they're not qualified to be a parent, or at least I should say they're dropping the ball. The only way to know that your kids are being handled by the right type of person is to handle them yourself. The sheriff. The bus driver lost his job. He was fired, so you got that going. For a school bus driver, rapes a girl, goes to jail for a few years, and it's just... Reason number 1048, to keep or get your daughter off the bus. Meanwhile, from the Just a System file, Canada's Supreme Court has acted to protect children. That's according to the French press agency. Canada's Supreme Court is enabling judges to prohibit those who are convicted of sexual offenses against minors from using the internet. So the Supreme Court in Canada is going to ban child molesters from using the internet. That's the long and short of it. Now, I want to point out this term, sexual offense. See, we used to call it rape, but now it's just a sexual offense. And, you know, some things are offensive, but we tolerate them. And anyway, they've just softened the terminology, you know, and this bothers me. Why is it that the urinalism schools teach the urinalists to soften? They never use the word rape anymore. It's a sexual offense. It's a sexual assault. It was just an assault. It might have hurt a little bit, but it's not like it was rape. Rape is so harsh. So Canada Supreme Court says that men who rape children will be banned from using the internet. That's their solution. One of the justices who wrote for the majority in the 100-page ruling. It's such a convoluted legal opinion that it takes 100 pages to explain. He says that, in the majority, in the 100-page ruling, there was a line about prohibiting convicted child molesters from accessing the internet. Monitoring an offender's use of the internet can limit an offender's opportunity to offend and prevent this harmful behavior. See, it's a harmful behavior. See, it used to be a death penalty, rape is what it was. But now it's just a harmful behavior that we want to prevent, and took us about 100 pages to pass that one off on you idiots, but there we've done it. And the folks at the AFP insist that Canada's Supreme Court has acted to protect children. I would assert that they've done no such thing. They have only acted to propagate more child molestation, is basically what they've done. All right. Now, in Vermont, there are rules. According to the Washington Times, Vermont doctors are pushing back against a new state law that they say requires them to help kill patients. Well, only if the patients wish to die. The doctors, the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, and the Vermont Alliance for Ethical Healthcare have filed a lawsuit against officials in the two state medical agencies responsible for the interpretation of the law. This is a 2013 physician-assisted suicide law that would require health professionals to counsel terminally ill patients about the option to commit suicide. And if they're not willing to help kill the patients, they must refer the patients to a physician who will kill them. So, I mean, did you think that the suicidal liberals who pushed the law and the suicidal children who voted for it, did you think they were going to let you off the hook, Doc? I mean, these people, they're all cowards, lacking even the intestinal fortitude to carry out their own suicide. And did you think we were going to let you out of this, Doc? We passed the law. There's been a Democratic vote. We're suicidal, and we want you to help us. Pathetic, weak children. I'm talking about the electorate in Canada and the judicial system and the medical boards. Pathetic, weak children. What did you think? That we could ignore the killing of the innocent and then not be accessories, Doc? Did you think that we could do that? Because we can't. When we don't stand up and fight for the lives of the innocent who are being killed, we are, by definition, accessories, all of us. And there ain't no way out of that, Doc, to put it simply. And you can have your lawsuit, and you can claim to be Christian and ethical, but we're all accessories because we've all decided to tolerate a certain level of violence. And well, it's quite disturbing. And violence begets violence, and here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV, at American Right to Life, and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.